It's so good to have you with us today here at the Covenant Grace Prayer Line. And we're almost done with our study in the book of Ecclesiastes. Sorry that for the last almost 3 weeks, I have not been able to record any messages, as I basically almost lost my voice. I had to have somebody else preach for me. I've had to have somebody else deal with a lot of things at the church and et cetera, because I had very little voice, if any, and have been dealing with a cold that embattled me for quite some time. But God is bringing me through that, and we are seeing health, and I'm thankful. It's been a year of challenges with health, but the Lord has been gracious in that He has preserved me. He's helped me through it. He's seen me through the wilderness, and I'm walking in the grace of God. And I'm thankful that He is not just healer, but my friend and your friend too. And I love the Lord today. We're going to continue in our study, and we're in chapter 11 of the book of Ecclesiastes. And we're going to talk about pondering youth and old age. And look with me, if you will, the first verse of chapter 11. Verse 1 of Ecclesiastes. Send your bread out on the water. In the course of time, you may find it again. Cast out your bread. Make your investment. Give and it shall be given unto you. Minister and God will bless. 2. Give a portion to 7 people, even to 8. You don't know what disaster may come upon the land. Being a generous giver, being someone who can touch someone's life, will benefit you if you do so when you have provision and ability. Because in the tough times, you will have befriended, you will have those who want to be in covenant partnership with you, and you will see the grace of God extended to you in ways you would not even have otherwise. If clouds fill up, they will empty out rain on the earth. If a tree falls, whether to the south or to the north, wherever it falls, there will it lie. Those who watch the wind blow will never sow, and those who observe the clouds will never reap. Just as you don't understand what the life breath does in the fetus inside a pregnant woman's womb, so you can't understand the work of God, who makes everything happen. Scatter your seed in the morning. Go ahead, scatter it in the morning. Minister, touch with the seed that God has given you. You know, when it comes to God's operation in life and how He goes about things, I don't understand all the inner workings. I see things from what I can from the Word of God and from what I can in the natural and, of course, in my spirit man through the Holy Spirit's work. But there's some things that God doesn't let me view or I can't see, but I trust in the Lord and the power of His might, and I know His intentions are good, and His intentions for you and I are good. So He wants us to plant seed and cast the bread upon the waters. Amen. So verse 6, scatter your seed in the morning and in the evening don't be idle, because you don't know which will succeed, this one or that, or whether both will be equally good. Morning and night, be a blessing unto the Lord and be alert. Verse 7, sweet is the light and it's pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. Even those who live many years should take pleasure in them all. But they should be mindful that there will also be many dark days. Everything that happens is pointless. Now, how many times have we seen that word pointless? You know, he doesn't really get it sometimes, Psalm, but yet he does. God's underworking hand, and yet he doesn't really recognize what it is that God's trying to do sometimes. And yet he resolves to put it in trust with him. He resolves to put it in trust with him. And so should we. But I do know that when I sow and I'm blessed, thank the Lord for it, that I can give and be a blessing, it is well with me. So I need to give, but I also need to put aside for tomorrow. Okay? Waste not. In other words, don't waste your seed. Bless and invest it in the right places and save accordingly. Because you don't know the days and the times and the seasons and what's going to transpire. Because there might be famine, there might be difficulty in the land, there might be times of hurt and pain. There are going to be dark days. That's what the scripture says here. But in so whatever state you're in, God says you can be blessed. There are going to be dark days. There will be. You can't go through life and not have some dark days. But how you invest your daily walk and live it out is going to see you through. How you invest in your daily walk and how you see it through is going to make the difference. If you each and every day just go haphazard through the day, each and every day and just kind of pray a little here and maybe a little bit of investment there and whatnot. You don't really have any consistency. You don't really have any purpose. You're going to get what you sow. But if you're diligent, being in the Spirit, honoring God's word, each day, taking time with the Master, investing in people's lives, putting your finances where they need to be, or saving, investing, touching, something good's going to come because you have laid up for yourself blessings. One, in the world, and two, in the future. Because where your heart is, is going to be seen. Because it's going to be revealed from your lifestyle. You know, if you don't give to the church, if you don't honor the things of God, people see through that pretty quick. If you don't really invest of your time at work and et cetera, and you just kind of go there and get a paycheck, people are going to see through all that. Invest in your life wisely. Be excellent at what you do. And honor God. You will see reciprocity from that investment. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Will men give into your bosom? It might not be in accordance to maybe what you think, but it will be in the time necessary, God's grace. If you've shown kindness to somebody, trust me, when the day comes when you need a little kindness, God's going to seek out that person and the Holy Spirit's going to direct them in your path. Live out your life with wisdom. Amen. I lost my page for a moment. Give me a second here, guys. Verse 6 again. Scatter your seed in the morning, and in the evening don't be idle because you don't know which will succeed. This one or that, or whether both will be equally good. Sweet is the light, and it's pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. Even those who live many years should take pleasure in them, but they should be mindful that there will also be many dark days. Everything that happens is pointless. But what does it say in verse 9? He just says it's pointless. But rejoice, young person, while you are young. Your heart should make you happy in your prime. Follow your heart's inclinations and whatever your eyes see. But know this, God will call you to account for all of these things. Young person, seek the will of God for your life. Honor the Lord. Try the Spirit to see if they're of God, those things that you are trying to look into. Invest your life in that which has eternal benefits, but as well, earthly graces. And to see the work of the Lord be done. Don't let yourself get caught up in things that are a frivolity of wastefulness. And try to put yourself in a position where you invest in life, in relationship, in finance, in fellowship, and in all sorts of ways. As you try to live out your life. And try to do so not so in a haphazard manner, but in a diligent manner. I know it's tough when you're young. Not everybody's the same. I know when I was a teenager and younger, a lot of people, they just kind of went and had fun. We went to party. We went to this. We went to that. And we just lived life, not really investing in anything, not really doing much except maybe going to school and studying. And maybe I'll be a doctor one day or this or that. But those who really seemed to be successful were those who got it early on. Be diligent about your studies. Spend time in prayer. Honor people. Minister to folks. We're all in this together. And avoid the spirit of selfishness. And if there's something I can tell you that will destroy your life will be selfishness. And selfishness has its spirit about it that just destroys the inner man, and it's part of the carnality of life, of who we are. But through the Spirit of God and through the Word of God, we can, you know, see God operate on us and see that expunged as best as possible. And we can be more people conscious than we conscious, me, okay? But it's a challenge. It's a challenge because I don't like discomfort in my life. You don't like discomfort in your life. You don't like dark times. You want it all going good and happy and party. But it's not that way. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Why is that? Because there's refreshment there. There's restitution there. There's grace there. There's victory there. There's hope there. There's God's word being taught there. There's vision there. There's wisdom there. His presence is there. Hallelujah. In His presence is fullness of joy. And sometimes when you feel like you've been out there alone during the week trying to do your daily routine and praying and different things and you don't sense the Spirit, things haven't been so easy. You keep on taking up the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, but boy, it just seems like you're getting just set back and not going forward. Sunday comes or Wednesday night, a fellowship meeting, and you get it back on track. It says hope. You get a little bit going again. Because you know, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And His consistency in His message, His purpose, and His love for you never changes. He's prayed for you that you would fail not. And His love for you is from everlasting to everlasting. Refresh yourself always in the Lord, day in and day out. You know, you can't always be praying with the same intensity privately as you wish sometimes. You can't always be in fellowship like you wish. You can't always be in the Word like you wish. But what you can do and what you do and how you live out your life, have the mind of Christ. And do so with the idea that I am going to glorify the Lord in this body. And He will bless that heartfelt desire. Amen. Verse 10, remove anxiety from your heart. Banish pain from your body, because youth and the dawn of life are pointless. Try to get it together at a young age. But at whatever age you do, do so with intensity, that which the Lord has wanted you to accomplish. Do it not with just a half-hearted effort, but honor the Lord with your whole heart, your whole soul, and your whole being. Amen. The Lord wants to do good things in your heart life, but you've got to give Him the ability to do so, and to do so with gladness and with a heart that says, hey, I'm going to give God everything I've got, and He is going to be glorified. Amen. Now, when I was younger, I felt the call of God upon my life to be a preacher, even before I was in junior high, basically. But when I was in junior high, I really knew God's anointing was upon Him. Upon me for that. And I remember one service in particular when I was in eighth grade when the man of God asked for people to come forward who felt the call of God to preach the gospel and to serve Him in some capacity. And I went up there that day and I committed myself to the Lord, as did others. And I remember two individuals with me that same day in that service in Midlothian, Illinois. And that was John Nordstrom and Wilbur Zeal. All three of us are ministering and preaching the gospel. Wilbur's an assistant pastor somewhere. John pastors my former old church back in Albany, Illinois, where his dad pastored. Great servants of God. Love the Lord. And myself, as I am ministering to you the word today, our lives have been committed to the purpose of God. And I've never forgot that service, and I remember that. You know, not everybody remembers their calling as vividly maybe as that. That wasn't the first time I remember God, you know, trying to draw me, but that was the day I committed it all. And when I committed it, I kept my heart towards it. And going to Bible school, wanting to get the Word of God, wanting to minister, leading people to Christ, studying God's Word, became so important to me. When I was in high school, I had a Bible with me in my locker all the time. One time we were having a situation at school where we were going to have a mock trial. Everybody knew who had a Bible. And they said, Vossen has a Bible. You know, he can get one for us. We can have that swearing in we need to have. You know, everybody takes that little swearing in before they actually go to trial or sit at the stand to give their testimony. And so I went to get my Bible. They knew I had it. As much as I could, I tried it my lunch period every day to take that Bible out and go in, either sit in the bleachers in the football stadium on a decent day or in the gymnasium and look at God's Word and meditate a bit. I couldn't just live my day out, just had my morning prayer and my evening prayer, because I had school to deal with. I had individuals I came in contact with, and I needed the Lord. That perpetuity of lifestyle, that desire to honor God, was important. It kept me many times when I just, you know, was lost at times. And the Lord will help you if you have that commitment. Solomon realized that he was coming to the end of his words here in this book. And he began to move into closing statements as he begins to regard old age and young life. He taught that young people should enjoy their lives while the light of the sun is still bright and sweet to them. But he also told them to be those who don't live out naivety, those things that they do so, being lacking of maturity, recognizing, hey, there's a bigger picture going on here. And then not just to live out life in frivolity, because that really was meaningless. God wants us to sober up sometimes and get the big picture. Thus, the teacher and his advice to young people was to be happy, but in fact, remember that, hey, you've got to sow seed, you've got to live out your life, and you've got to do so not in conjunction of living out your life in just pure hedonism or anything of that nature, but with investment for the future and as well for those you are in communion with in your daily life. We need to pursue God-given freedom and joy. And whether young or old, not allow our worries to get the best of us, verse 10. Amen. We know there's going to be trouble. We know in the verse previously, or a few verses previous to verse 10, talked about dark days. But we'll know that God is with us and that there's a lasting value in life, whether or not sometimes Solomon thought and brought out that word pointless. Perhaps the highlights of Solomon's advice to the young and the old is to remember the Creator. Remember the Creator. Chapter 12, verse 1. Once again, the teacher, Solomon, wants us to, you know, remember that the Creator, he had a purpose in mind. He understands things. I don't quite understand all, but he knows. He does. The book of Ecclesiastes doesn't want us to move away from God. The book of Ecclesiastes wants us to turn to God. And in the onset of old age, the teacher was trying to say some particular things to us. And to remove ourselves from that idea of this world, that selfishness and hedonism and the desires of the flesh are the main course of action in life that will give us pleasure. But that friendship, kindness, giving, caring, loving, sharing, fellowship, worship, these things go beyond just the extension of who I am into a place that goes beyond, into a place where I touch the heavenlies. I am invested in the Spirit. I am curious of the things of God, and the joy of His grace is going to be upon me. We need to make the transition from selfishness to God consciousness, from selfishness to God consciousness in our lives. Not allowing the darkness of selfishness and hedonism and the desires of the flesh to get the best of us, but for God in His grace and His Spirit to fill us. That we would fulfill the purposes of God and find that guiding force of His Spirit leading us in the direction of where we must be and how we must give of ourselves. I told you, I felt the call of God early on in my life. And it has not been simple. I am still ministering the gospel. I'm still doing the things of God. But there's been some setbacks. There's been some dark days. I've lost some good friends along the way. I've been in a place where I felt like it was all over. And I've been in a place where it feels like, hey, I've reached the ultimate. In whatever state I am in, the Scripture says I should be content. Not allowing the enemy to see me sweat. And you don't want the enemy to see you sweat. You want him sweating, the enemy, Satan. Live out the love of Christ. Be content. Be at peace. I was going through some things at work the other day, and boy, I was getting a little frazzled. But my Christian brother and my boss, Sean, at my secular job, he wasn't getting flustered at all. Everything, you know, he was just kind of taking it as it goes. And I kind of looked at him and I just paused for a moment. Because this is a busy, busy time of year where I work on my secular job that helps support my ministry. And all of a sudden, that pausing gave me an unction to just know that He is God. Just be at peace. This is just another day at the office. And then I just became settled in my spirit and went on the day and everything was cool. We need that in our lives. And if things are going tough for you today and things seem so out of whack, etc., just pause. Just know that He's God. Try to settle your spirit and remember that He loves you. And today I want you to know that there can be dark times and there can be difficult times. But if we live our lives not out of selfishness, but out of a God consciousness. And as that first verse that we looked at here in this chapter talked about, casting our bread upon the wall, considering the things of God, investing in those around about, sharing with one another. As we share with one another, as we minister one another, when our day comes, when we're going through struggles, when our day is coming, we're going to be there going through trials, there's going to be support. Not just from those we love, but from those from without, and especially from God's angels and His Holy Spirit. Amen. And if you'll invest wisely, God's going to bring it back, pressed down, shaken together, running over. This men and women going to give in your bosom. You're going to see the work of the Lord. Because you put your heart in the right place. You put your life in the right place. You put what you had in your stuff in the right place. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this day and thank You for this word. I went off in a couple different directions, but I pray that God, that which I was able to touch upon, minister to those who are the hearers of Your word today. Help us, Lord, to, yes, reflect upon at times our youth and those going through their young days and living out their lives as young men and women. Help us all to keep pace with what You're desired for us to do and to be disciplined about the kingdom business. And Lord, let us not be haphazard and disjointed and just allowing circumstances to grab us and pull us in a million directions. Help us, Lord, to see Your face, to sense the peace of God, and to know that the Lord is alive and well. And I pray, God, that You'll make Yourself known to each and every one who's heard this word today. I pray that right now, God, You just let them know I love You, and that something will happen in the remainder of the day that will just touch them in such a way they'll go, yeah, God's with me. He's here. Something special would happen. A person would call them up. An individual would lay something at their side, and they would say, something good would happen for them. A revelation would come to them. Boy, that which they'd been working on, all of a sudden, boom, the light came off. And I see it. Amen. Lord, I pray, let Your grace, let Your revelation, let Your love, let Your mercy be seen and experienced today. And help us, Lord, that we would live out our lives not in selfishness, but understanding You and Your presence each and every day. Amen. From youth and pondering that youth to our growing old and considering each and every day and thinking upon those things You've done and saying, thank You, Jesus, but also considering, hey, we're going to continue to live it out. And wherever we're at, and whoever we are in Christ Jesus, bearing witness of the Father's love. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless each and every one of you. I pray this word reached your heart in a special way. In Jesus' name.